Take your Bibles now. I hope you have your textbook. And we still are preaching out of the King James Version. I don't think you can beat it. I think it's the most accurate one. And I don't have any problem handling thee and thou. I just want to know what they mean. And I hope you do. But anyway, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, if you will. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We start the series tonight, Pulling Down Strongholds. As Christians, we can allow certain things to get in our lives. First, the devil starts with a little toehold. And then the next thing you know, he's got a foothold. And then the next thing you know, he has a stronghold in our lives. And sometimes we don't even realize it. Or if we do, we don't do anything about it. Paul is writing here to these Corinthian believers. He had had to deal with them in the past because of some problems. He was very gentle in the first 9 chapters, but now he's going to let them know he's coming to do business, and there's some things that needed to be corrected there at the church at Corinth. So look with me now as we begin with verse 1. Now I, Paul, myself, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold toward you. He said, I'm coming in meekness and love, but I'm coming in the strength of the Lord. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I'm present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. Some folks there were accusing him of being fleshly and that he was trying to get monetary gain and a number of other things. They'd been highly critical of him, and a lot of people had gotten in there, false teachers, and they were turning a lot of the people against him. Then he says in verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. That's an important verse. We walk in the flesh, but we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare, not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. They're spiritual weapons. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. And he's talking about pulling down strongholds there in verse 4. And they certainly had some there. Strongholds start in our mind. And that's where the devil really goes to work. He tempts us, and our minds are tempted by him. So much goes on in your mind, doesn't it? I remember one time my wife's mother cooked a bunch of oysters. I think it was for New Year's Day. Am I right about that? New Year's Day. Christmas, New Year's Day during that time. I'd never eaten fried oysters for breakfast. And I thought, man, I am going to enjoy these. And I ate and I ate and I ate. And then I got sick and sick and sick. And then after that, my mind kept telling me, don't eat any more fried oysters because they'll make you sick again. And years went by, and I had that thought in my mind, and I wouldn't eat them. So finally, one day, I decided I'll go ahead and try them again, and hey, they're good. And if you want to invite me over for an oyster meal, if they're fried, and if they're that unfried, you can have those. My brother used to plop those down like that, and I said, no, you fry them for me, and I'll eat them. But the mind can tell you a lot of things, can't it? It's in the mind. The heart and the mind joined together. But the mind is so, so powerful. And so a stronghold can get in our mind, and it's like a fortified city. Jericho was a city like that, wasn't it? It was a fortified city. They had built the walls of Jericho so strongly that 2 chariots of brass could go around the top of those walls in Jericho. And within those walls, people had their houses. And they loved to be in those houses because They felt like they were safe, and everybody behind the wall felt like the wall was impenetrable and they were safe. But they really were not safe. Go back to verse 4. Our weapons of our warfare, for the weapons of our warfare, are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of those strongholds. And so they thought they were safe, but guess what? Jericho fell, didn't it? And I've been over there and saw where they said the walls just sank straight down. And they have some of the archaeology proofs of what actually happened there. So our weapons are not carnal, but Jericho failed. It failed. And that illustrates the truth to us. What is that truth that it illustrates? Well, there are no effective weapons but the weapons that God gives us to be overcomers to these strongholds that we face. Only God, through the spiritual power that he gives us. And so he reminds us in verse 5, look at that again. Verse 5, casting down imaginations and every high thought that exalteth itself. The imaginations he's talking about there is not some imagination that a little child would have. And children have great imaginations, don't they? And my little great-grandson was telling me some things the other day. If they were true, I would be shocked. I mean, I think he was going to outer space and everything else and had seen a lot of different things that nobody else had seen. That was all in his mind. But he's not talking about this. He's talking about in our minds a developed thought, a thought that is there on purpose, a thought that we know is true. And this developed thought, this idea, is something sometimes that we have to bring into captivity or we'll get in trouble. And these are developed thoughts. We know the idea that is coming into our mind, and God allows it, but Satan is the one behind it. So here you have the Corinthian church, and they had some thoughts that were bad. What kind of thoughts did they have? Well, one, they were bitter. They were bitter at each other. They were fighting each other. And they had turned on Paul, as I said earlier. Paul was their mentor. Paul was the one that was responsible for the church being there. Paul was the one that had taught them, and Paul had led some of them to the Lord and helped them as they built their church. But they allowed a foothold and a stronghold to get in their hearts and in their minds at that church. A bad thinking pattern, just like many of us do. And these things were based on lies. They were based on deception that Satan had given them. So there are some good strongholds, there are some bad strongholds, but this was a bad stronghold. Not random thoughts. We sometimes face random thoughts that we really don't want in our minds, but they just come. Most of us could testify, if we're honest, hey, why did I think of that? Where did that thought come from? That thought hit my mind, and there are a lot of different areas where the thought comes into our mind. It pops into our mind. The thing is, we have to be sure it doesn't stay there. We've got to be sure it doesn't stay there. There are people in this building that probably at some point in your past considered committing suicide. Probably somebody here in some point in your past, some of you, thought of that. The devil put that in your mind, and you said, no, I'm not going to do it. This would not honor God, and I'm not going to do it. Some of you probably in the past have thought about leaving your marriage mate or divorcing when God said you don't have the scriptural grounds for it. And so some would be tempted to leave a marital situation, and yet they don't do it because they know that would not be the most honorable thing to the Lord. And so some are tempted with thoughts of committing sins, maybe adultery, maybe fornication, maybe pornography, something hitting the mind, temptations, drugs, alcohol, whatever it may be, comes into the mind. We can't help some of those things that hit our mind, but they've got to go through. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. said this. He's talking about a bird flying over versus a, one building than this. He said, you can't stop a bird from flying over your head, but you can stop him from building a nest there. And that's true, isn't it? We've got to stop it. As soon as we recognize it and we know where it's coming from, stop it and turn it away. Get it out of our mind. So that's the important thing for us to do as we face those things. And then Satan. Satan is always the one behind it. If you would turn to Acts 5 just a second, keep your place in Corinthians and go to Acts chapter 5. And let me illustrate what I'm saying here about this. In Acts chapter 5, it's a story you're familiar with. But let's analyze this for a second as we think about the strongholds. But he said a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, knowing about it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan, watch it, verse 3, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? Who filled their hearts to lie to the Holy Ghost? Satan did. And to keep back part of the price of the land. They lied about the land. Barnabas had brought all of the money of the land he sold, and they wanted to get in on the clout and the prestige and the notoriety, and so they acted as if they had sold their land and given all the money, but Satan had deceived them to lie about it. And he's the one that was behind it. Whiles it remained, was it not thine own? Verse 4, and after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. He died. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. But you notice who was behind it. Who was it? It was the devil. Now, the devil did not force them to do this. The devil was only responsible for the idea, the temptation. But what happened was they yielded to that temptation. They listened to the devil. Ananias had an idea and Sapphira, and they were guilty because they both acted on it, and immediately they had a stronghold in their heart, and both of them died because they allowed the devil to get a stronghold in their heart, and they lied to the church, and God killed them. In 2 Corinthians 10:10, going back to 2 Corinthians, look at verse 10, for his letters say they are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech contemptible. And he's talking about Paul in this situation where he's talking about the fact that they're looking down on him. In other words, who put this in their mind? The devil. Who does Paul think he is writing us and telling us? He's not even brave enough to tell us to our face. He waits till he gets in prison, then he writes us letters. And they are making fun of him and laughing at him. And it kept them from getting from God what God wanted Paul to tell them so that they would do what God wanted done. And that's the way it is with a preacher too. And we need to keep that in mind. But here's the process. Here's the way the devil works in your mind. In mind. First of all, there is the thought, a wrong thought. See, some of you are having one right now. You're saying, how long is he going to preach tonight? I hope he quits at 8 o'clock. Who put that in your mind? It wasn't me, I hope. But anyway, there's a thought. And then there's the Holy Spirit who convicts you. That thought hits your mind, and the Holy Spirit, if you're saved, convicts you. And then there's the Scripture. We are confronted by what the Bible says. And I'm telling you what the Bible says right. It is always right. Perfectly right. And then we have two choices after that. Those things happen, and we can either run toward the stronghold of truth, the Word of God, or we can run toward the stronghold that is a lie and wrong thinking. And this is what keeps you from the truth. God wants to give us the truth. Paul wanted to give them the truth. Why? Because the truth is what protects us. It's the truth that's going to protect us. And the devil will say to you, God doesn't love you. You have a lot of problems. You have some situations you don't understand. And the devil will say, God doesn't love you. I know of situations where a woman's husband left the children with her, and she was so angry at God and mad about the whole thing. And the devil got a stronghold in her heart and mind, and she became bitter. And I could give you a number of illustrations right now of that. Trials and troubles and all of those things. And the devil says, you know, God's mistreating you. He doesn't love you. He wouldn't let this happen to you if he did. But he does love you. He loves everybody in this building. And he loves us completely. And so he's not trying to hurt us in any way. But the devil convinced them that God didn't love them. TV preachers will tell you, if God loves you, you'll have plenty of money in the bank. You can drive the fanciest car you want. Just pick it out, and you'll have that. You'll have a mansion, and you'll never be sick. And then they say, send me your money. But listen, that's not true. That's far from the truth. You can have all kinds of problems, and God still loves you. But oh, how the devil wants to use that. And even Job had a little struggle with some of that. Psalm 34:19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Many. But the Lord delivereth them out of them all. In his time and his way, he delivers. God never promised to keep you out of trouble. But God has promised to go with us through the trouble. And all of us who've gone through trials and troubles, and we all have, we know that God has gone with us through those times. If we're honest about it, we know that he does that. The lie of the devil is, I deserve better. People ask me, how you doing? I say, better than I deserve. And, you know, I got that from that famous guy that's good with finances. And he always answers, better than I deserve. It's true. It's better than whatever it is, it's better than I deserve. But some people say, I don't deserve that. I don't deserve these problems. I don't deserve that. And by the way, she got the certificate and I should have got it. She got to sing on Sunday morning. It should have been me. He got picked for the quartet. It should have been me. I know that feeling. No, but it should have been me. And there's some difficulties with that. And people say, the world's not fair. And you know what happens to a lot of people, and some of you are going through it tonight. There's a stronghold of self-pity. A stronghold of self-pity. Self-pity is wrong. It's a sin. And God doesn't want us to have that in our lives. And so the devil will try to make you believe a lie. He'll say to people that are lost, hey, when you're dead, just like a dog. Just like an animal. When you're dead, you're dead. Friend, when you're dead, you're not dead. You're more alive than you probably ever have been. The difference is you'll be in hell or heaven. But when you're dead, you're not dead. You're in eternity. Hank Williams started out as a teenager, and he was one of the first true music stars, country music stars. And he had 12 number one songs. He had 35 singles that reached the top 10 level. And all of that, you'd think the man would be happy, but he was immoral, he drank, he used drugs, all of those things. You remember the song, this song, I wandered so aimless, life filled with sin, I wouldn't let my dear Savior in. Then Jesus came like a stranger in the night, praise the Lord, I saw the light. How many of you remember that? How many of you old enough to remember him singing that? Some of you, that's still a lot of you. I saw the light, I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow in sight. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. He's singing. He's saying, you're cheating heart. Some of you remember that song. And hey, good looking. I always liked that one. But anyway, in 1952, after he had a divorce, he was fired. And he was on the stage drunk. And so Minnie Pearl, how many of you know who Minnie Pearl is? All right. If you forget your tag on your clothes, we'll call you Minnie Pearl. But she and the promoter of him took him out for a drive and tried to get him to sing that song. He sang one verse of it, and then he said, "That's just it, Minnie," talking to Minnie Pearl. "That's just it, Minnie. There ain't no light." You see, the devil got a foothold in his mind, in his heart, in his life. And as far as we know, he died and went to eternity without the Lord Jesus Christ, 29 years of age. So there are two kinds of strongholds. One is a prison like Hank Williams was in, and another is a stronghold of protection that God gives us. And so the best news is that God loves you and He'll forgive you. He died for you and He does save you. He will save you no matter what if you'll come to Him. And He said, "There ain't no light." There was light. He just didn't take the light. And there's always the truth. So there's the prison type, and then there's a protection, and then there's a fortified city. Turn to Psalm 46, if you will. Psalm chapter 46, right quick, if you can find that. And notice these verses. Psalm 46, verses 1 through 3, and then we'll drop down to verse 7. The scripture says, the psalmist says, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." How many of you believe that? Say amen. Amen. He's there. "Therefore will we not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof." Selah, pause and think about it. Verse 7, "The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge." Selah, stop, pause, think about it. That God is there and God is with us and God will take care of us. We have to turn to Him. He is our fortress. So the place to run when attacked is to the stronghold, but not the prison stronghold that's going to keep you in and tie you down, but the protective stronghold that will keep the enemy out. Where do you go when you're upset? Where do you go when you feel sorry for yourself? Where do you go when you lose your temper and you know you shouldn't have? All of these things, these false patterns, we fall back. Some people fall back into drugs and they go back to deception. They go back to self-pity and these things. Those are choices that we have. But we're supposed to go to the truth. The truth is God. The truth is the Word of God. Go to it and see what it says. Believe the Bible versus the circumstances you have. There's always a battle going on for your mind. I don't care how long you've been saved. I don't care how much you've grown in the Lord. There always is a battle for the mind. Proverbs says it this way, 23:7, "As he thinketh in his heart, so is he." Well, your heart, your mind, you got to think and you make your decisions accordingly. There's a doctor, there was a study done years ago. The doctor's name is Stanton Samenow. What a funny last name. Dr. Samenow, and his name is the same now. Dr. Samenow. He is a clinical psychologist. He wrote the book Inside the Criminal Mind. And he talks about people committing crimes and why they do it. They do it because of the way they think. And his proposition was, if you can change your thinking, you can change their behavior. Well, that has a lot to do with Christ coming into your life, doesn't it? All things become new. But he pointed out that criminals, believe it or not, have a high self-esteem. They think that they have the right to take what you have. They think they have the right to take your car or your dollars without working for it. But he gives a proposition, and I agree with him, that self-esteem is not the problem. You see, there are some that are brought up poor. Society failed them. They bring their accusations against society. And they say, "Well, I didn't get a good education. If I'd had a good education, I wouldn't do these things." That's malarkey. Dr. Samenow says, no. You can take two men, and he proved that. You take two men from the same family who went to the same school, with the very same circumstances during all that time, One goes to jail and one has a successful career. Why is that? It's what they thought. It was the mindset of them. The difference is the way they think. And so the devil can make you think wrongly. And when he does, he gets a stronghold in your life and in my life. So there's the bad stronghold, and that's anger, bitterness, lust, that type thing. There might be good things that can become strongholds. For instance, self-confidence, there's nothing wrong with that if you don't have too much of it and you don't depend on the Lord. Then it gets to be bad. If you get cocky about it and think you're God's gift to anybody, then you've got a problem with all of that. And so being falsely humble, some people are falsely humble, and they'll tell you how humble they are. And, humility, it must be sincere and real. But even good things like that can become strongholds where we have pride, where we allow these things in our life. But if we want it for protection, the only source is the Word of God. There it is right here. It's the standard. It is the unshakable, unalterable, absolute. It is the blessed Word of God. And I believe this book is God's Word, totally, completely, inerrantly. And I believe it from cover to cover. I even believe the covers, Holy Bible. But we know that these are strongholds that can come into people's life. So it is touching on the groundwork of what it is. What is a stronghold? And so a stronghold, if you want to write this down, it's a good definition. A stronghold is any course of action. Any course of action contrary to the Word of God. Anything you're practicing in your life that is contrary to the Word of God is a stronghold in your life. Any habit, any thought patterns, all of those things. Now, here's what the Bible does. The Bible is a filter. It's a filter. We all are familiar with filters, aren't we? Your air conditioner and your heating system, you better change those filters or you'll be in trouble. It filters out all of that dust. We mark our calendar, and when the time's up, Carolyn says, you got to get up here and do that. So I go up there and do that and change all the filters. We have filters. We have a filter on our refrigerator where you get the water out of the thing on the refrigerator door, the spigot. And that filter, it has to be changed ever so often. If not, you'll know it. We have filters for our oil in our cars. And some people don't think that's important. They shine the outside, make it look good, wax it and all that, and let the motor go to pot. Well, if the motor goes to pot, you don't have anything but a pretty shiny nothing sitting out there, a piece of metal. You better have a filter. A lot of us have filters for our coffee. One of the last things I do at night is go to the coffee maker, put a filter in there, put the coffee in there, and get it ready so that when I get up, I can have a cup of coffee in no time. I like coffee early in the morning. How many of you like me? These are the spiritual people. I just want you to look around. But our filter, we use filters. Here's the filter. Right here. It's the Word of God. And if you're going to know it, then we need to hear it like you're doing tonight and when the preacher preaches and others. You need to study it, spend time in the Bible, study the Word of God. And you need to memorize the Word of God and then meditate on the Word of God. Think about it. Now, tonight, if you go out and don't even think about what I said, and you say, well, we had another Wednesday night service, and maybe you didn't take notes, or maybe you just weren't listening or something, you ought to let at least some thoughts get into your mind and go out the rest of the week and say, hey, I need to work on that. I need to get rid of the strongholds that are in my life. In fact, you'll have an opportunity to do that in just a few moments if you want to come to the Lord and tell Him that you need help in doing that. But we need to hear it, study it, memorize it, and then we need to meditate on it, and then we need to apply it to our hearts. We're so good at applying it to their heart, to your neighbor's heart, but we need to apply it to our heart, my heart, your heart. And so that's what we need to do. Now, let me ask you, does Satan have a stronghold on you tonight. You know it. You know if he does, I would assume. And I think, if not, the Holy Spirit will speak to you about it. There's so many different things. And Satan can have that kind of stronghold. One of the strongholds he has in the lives of unsaved people is, I've sinned too much, I've gone too deep in sin, and God doesn't love me, God won't save me. That's a lie of the devil. And as long as he can convince people that are lost that they've been too bad and lived too wickedly, that he won't save them, then they'll die and go to hell. But they've got to get rid of that thinking that the devil puts into their life. It may be pride that you have. You need to get rid of that stronghold. It may be self-pity, as I mentioned. We need to get rid of that stronghold. It may be jealousy, envy of somebody else and what they have and what they do. It may be bitterness. I have a friend right now that I've tried to work with him. I've talked to him. I've met him two or three times. He got bitter at his daughter, really bitter because she's going with someone he didn't approve of. And so he's cut all ties with her. Well, that's a mistake, I believe, my friend. You've got to love them. And as long as you're bitter and you're angry with them, you're not going to be able to influence them. And so they are alienated from each other. He's a miserable man. A miserable man because he is so filled with bitterness. Bitterness. To some, it could be a sex sin of some kind. That's a stronghold in the lives, and it's every man's battle. And to some, it's just having a bad attitude and a negative attitude. Don't you love to be around negative people? Everything's wrong. The preacher's wrong. The deacons are wrong. The air conditioner's not set right. The pews are too hard. Maybe too soft. This doesn't do. You know, you have people that are so critical all the time. It doesn't take any brains to be critical. It doesn't take any spirituality to be critical. Now, I know we've got to stand for the truth of the Word of God. But some people are just critical. The devil has gotten a stronghold on their mind. And they're negative. They don't ever see any good. They're always bellyaching, griping about everything that's around them. And boy, don't you just love to be around people like that? They just make your day, right? No, they don't make your day. Make you wish they'd make their day. But anyway, there's negativism. Another stronghold people have is fear. And worry. I'm afraid I'm going to die. Let me tell you what. You are going to die. Except for the rapture. So don't be afraid of it. I mean, you know, I was thinking, things are getting so bad, they may shoot some of us preachers. I mean, you never know. It's getting bad. I have a friend now that, man, they're trying to do a job on him just because he had a visiting preacher that said something that the news media got a hold of, and they're giving him the devil over that thing. They can ruin you. They can set you aside. I thought, well, what if they shoot me? I'm going to die anyway, and I'm not anxious to get shot. But the truth of the matter is, don't worry about dying and all that. We are going to die unless we're raptured. Worry, 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 worry. What are you worried about tonight? You're worried about? What are you worried about? Quit worrying. You know, it's as I said Sunday morning, it's like a rocking chair. It'll give you something to do, but you don't get anywhere. Just worry, worry, worry. The devil gets these strongholds. What do we need to do? We need to confess it to him and make it right. And resist the devil and turn this word against him and get that right in our lives. And if you don't do it, friend, you'll never be happy as you should be. You'll never be able to rejoice in the Lord like you should rejoice in the Lord. You will never grow and be the Christian you should be until you get rid of that stronghold, whatever it is. Get rid of it. Let's stand. We'll have a word of prayer. And if you want to come to the altar and pray about something tonight, that's between you and God. We do have the invitation. If you're here without Christ, don't let the devil fool you and keep that stronghold in your mind to tell you to wait a little longer or to tell you God won't save you. He loves you. He'll save you tonight. And if you want to come and pray, whatever the prayer need may be, may not be about some of that, but it could be. But you come after we have prayer. May God help you. Father, help us now to realize some of these things that could be in our lives that you're not pleased with, strongholds. And Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts and help us to be honest with ourselves and honest with you and correct some of these things that you may have spoken to our hearts about tonight. And I pray you would bless this series as we go in more detail on some of these things and other things, that we may really search our hearts and be sure there are no strongholds there. Lord, if there's someone here without Christ tonight, I pray they'd be saved. This is your invitation. Your will be done in Christ's name. Amen.